Today on What the Hack, the hardware store bandit.
And not just any old big box hardware store, your local mom and pop hardware store.
You know, the good guys.
What's wrong with a big box hardware store?
Huh? Everything. I mean...
Yeah.
Welcome to What the Hack, a show about hackers, scammers, and the people they go after. I'm Adam Levin.
I'm Beau Friedlander.
And I'm Travis Taylor.
Ray, welcome to the show. Where are you coming to us from today?
Thank you for having me. I'm coming to you from Connecticut.
And what do you do?
I'm a general manager of a hardware store.
Okay, now is this a... I know the answer to this. Do you know who I am?
Who are you?
Oh, sorry. Who are you, Beau?
Me. Oh, you said my name. You must know who I am. So how would you describe me to one of your more Connecticut-like patrons at your store?
Beau showed up during COVID, new homeowner, a knowledgeable homeowner at that. He came in and introduced himself like we knew each other for our whole lives and said, this is what I want to do at my house. What do I need to do it? And from there, we've built a great customer business relationship.
And did he have the man bun during this time?
It was starting to grow.
Okay.
All right. And now when you say you work at a hardware store, I think people might be thinking Home Depot. What is your opinion of Home Depot and Lowe's and those kind of stores?
So the hardware store that I manage is a family-owned business, well-insulated from the competition that you mentioned, the big box store. We've been in business for 50-plus years.
What you don't know is that when I was a kid, we had, what do you call it, Ray, when you can just go in there and take stuff and not pay for it right away?
Theft?
A charge account?
We went to your store. It's the kind of store where you can have a charge account and they bill you at the end of the month. They know who you are. You can get points. Sometimes you use them. Most of the time you leave them at home and they don't give them to you, but it's a great place.
And they know where you live and they can show up at your door.
Yeah, well.
So very much of a small town vibe, in other words.
So, Ray, what are some of the differences between your store and big box stores?
So the differences, main difference, I believe, is the personal service that you get when you come into our store. And there's personal relationships that we've built over the years that, you know, keep our customers coming back time after time. Might not be the least expensive place to get what you need, but you know that you can count on us in times of need. You know, we've built a great reputation over the years.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're like me, you say, I don't know what exactly I need for this thing. And they know what you need because they know what thing you have because you've bought other things for that thing. So it's really got a great vibe to it. As Ray was saying, and when I walk in, it's like walking into Cheers, you know, when Norm walked in, Norm! But we're not here to talk about the show. We're here because I walked into one of my many multi-weekend visits to the store and Ray said, Beau, you'll never imagine what happened. I got hacked. So he didn't actually get hacked, but they got scammed. It was very exciting.
Okay, Ray, lay it on us. What happened?
We received a phone call from an individual who stated he was calling from our point of sale provider.
Can you explain to our listeners what a point of sale provider actually is?
Our point of sale provider is the company that we use to track all of our inventory. We use them to charge customers out as they purchase merchandise from us. Point of sale system is basically a glorified cash register, but behind the scenes can do a lot of things with our inventory. And in this case, they also are our credit card processing vendor.
So they're big, right?
Huge. You probably haven't heard of them because they're specific to our industry.
Are they specific to the hardware store industry or are they specific to small business owners?
Hardware, automotive, paint.
Okay, so it's only, so their specialty is They know what stuff you have for sale. They know how much of that stuff you have. And they also facilitate some on the actual transaction side.
Yes.
That sounds like quite a system and something that would make you paralyzed if it stopped working. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And who took the phone call? Let's give people names, just fake names, because it'll make it easier to tell the story. The point of purchase provider, we're going to call not Hank. And we're going to call the person they were talking to Hank.
Not Hank had some really, really great information that made Hank believe that, in fact, that he was our point of sale provider.
Okay.
Not Hank stated that we were having an issue with our credit card machine processing a certain type of card, a debit card.
How did Not Hank know this from his distant position?
He claimed that they were noticing debit cards not going through on the first attempt.
That would get my attention. It must have gotten Hank's attention too.
So Hank said, well, what do we do? And Not Hank said, well, I want to try to run a sale through with a test debit card.
Wait, so Not Hank wants to try a charge over the phone with a number that Hank was going to enter at the store side.
This is correct. So when a card is used over the phone, it is done just using the computer keyboard. And then there's some information that the customer, or in this case, Not Hank, would have to provide to get the sale to go through.
Okay, so that's interesting, because obviously with a credit card, it's the bank's money. With a debit card, it's your money, right? And it's linked to your checking account. And if anyone gets into your debit card, they can get into your checking account and cause you a world of pain.
Okay, so there's a reason why it might have been a debit card and not a credit card, and whatever didn't work for this, not Hank. But I want to hear, so Hank enters in the debit card and was... What did they do? Just charge a penny?
So this is where it got interesting. Not Hank picked an item. He picked a small 1 pound propane tank.
A 1 pound propane tank. Is that common?
It is a very common item, especially this time of year when people are barbecuing and camping.
So it wouldn't be an item that only somebody who knew who you guys were, who had been in your store, actually saw and then was using in order to scam you.
That's correct. Anybody could know that was an item we stocked.
But Not Hank did know the kind of stores he was going after, because this particular system that Not Hank was representing, he was calling from, only does hardware stores, automotive and paint.
And a 1 pound propane tank is not exactly a big ticket item, I'm guessing.
No, but he asked to run a sale through that would total $899 worth of small propane tanks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wait, now $899 is a very dumb amount.
Well, put a pin in that.
Okay, what happened next, Ray?
So what happened is when they rang up the transaction for $899, the debit card number that was provided to complete the transaction, that card did not have available funds to get to the $899, and all it had on it at that point was $365. Our point of sale system, well, you know, if the sale in this case it being $899, if the card presented has funds available, it will take as much up to the full amount, and then the customer could then pay the rest in cash if they could use another card also.
Let's just stop for a second. Travis, what's going on?
With point of sale systems, or at least some of them, you can split up a payment. So say you and another person are going in on something, you can charge half to one card, half to the other.
Yeah, you do it when you go out and you share the cost of a meal with somebody.
I have never had the experience of you doing that. Travis?
Not to date, but hope springs eternal. So yeah, if you don't want to max out one card or the balance on a credit card, you can just say, I'm going to put some on this one. I'll pay the rest in cash. It's pretty straightforward. Happens all the time.
And by the way, for listeners, that's just because Adam always slaps his card down first and gives you the look of death if you try to pay anything.
Lord Bountiful.
So the transaction wouldn't go through, and Hank wasn't sure why. And either Not Hank dropped the call purposely or there was a bad connection. But then, you know, when Hank tried to call that Hank to discuss it, he would not pick up.
So they got disconnected.
And was Hank getting suspicious at this point? Or?
Hank was pretty nervous.
Now, but Not Hank was now no longer on, he was not on the phone. So where was Not Hank? Did Hank Not Hank call back?
Hank was smart enough during this whole thing to write down the phone number that was on the caller ID.
Oh, nice.
But when Hank called back, it went immediately to voicemail that was not set up. So Hank just kind of put it to bed and somehow voided the transaction out of our register.
Well done, Hank.
Well, hold on. We actually still have the $365 at that point.
Now, hold on. Now, does that mean that you have effectively scammed Not Hank?
Not Hank has been scammed by us.
So, Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file and just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it. I like it. And they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack. So the story doesn't end. There's a day two to this, right?
The next day when our general ledger didn't balance, I called Not Hank. Not Hank picked up.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, hey, Not Hank. I said, we have some propane tanks that belong to you. And he said, oh, that can't be. I said, oh, yes, it could. And he hung up on me. So then I waited about an hour because I knew he was not going to pick up. And this went on for a few hours. So then I said, something's up. So I called our very large point of sale provider. And then they came out with some information that shocked me, saying that this is a known scam in the hardware industry, and proceeded to tell me about a few stores that have got ripped off for tens of thousands of dollars.
And how did that, how did the scam work?
Normally, if the debit card had had enough funding on it, that sale would have went through for $899. And then he would have said, okay, now we need to start to try to do some credits.
Hmm.
And then he would have just made up different items that hardware stores stock until finally the card couldn't be used anymore, because banks will shut off a card once certain credit limits have been reached. But my question to my point of sale provider is, hey, look, you guys know this is going on. Yeah. Why not notify, you know, your membership?
That's what we were about to ask.
Okay, this reminds me of our episode with Mark from Uber Eats, because the same question came up. Do you remember that scam, Adam?
The criminal in that case had granular knowledge of how Uber pays its drivers and timed the attack to coincide with the moment payment would be made.
Uber had to know.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, they had to know, yet they didn't let people know. I don't get it.
But you do.
Yes, but I don't.
The Zen of Uber.
Well, Uber is somewhat famous in the past few years for knowing and trying not to tell people.
People have been scammed out of, it sounds like, a lot of money with this scam. And the basic mechanism of it, if I'm not mistaken, is an overcharge and then credits issued to the same debit card that was used for the overcharge.
That's correct. But the credits will then obviously be greater than the charge that was originally done.
Yeah. And so the reason that there was not enough money on this one card is he didn't understand which card he was using, it sounds like. Not Hank, screwed up. But if the scam had worked well, what would that have looked like? How would he have turned that $899 into a plus on his side? Can you walk us through that?
He would have continued to issue credits until the card didn't work. Usually, you know, first for the $899 and then let's try again. Let's do another one for $899, all under $1,000, because that's usually when the red flag goes off.
But can I ask you, why is it that Hank wouldn't just say, I sent you the $899, you have it? Is that when not Hank says, no, I don't have it, do it again?
That's correct, because his initial phone call stated that there was a problem and they weren't seeing the cards go through.
Oh, so can you just do it? Wait a second, do it. Let me see. Nope, I didn't see it. Do it again. Nope, I didn't see it. Do it again. Nope, I didn't see it. See you later, sucker.
Yep.
Nice. Well, if you're listening to this show and you're a criminal, we're not telling you any of this so that you can do it to someone else.
Ray, is this something that could be done to any kind of retail operation?
I would say they would have to target smaller operations where it's the person where Hank is readily available to pick up the phone, because this would not be just a regular cashier that would do something, have the authorization to do these credits.
Right. It has to be a manager level person.
It would have to be a manager level person. And to get, you know, to call a big box chain store, it might be difficult to get to the right person.
Right. And so your understanding is this particular scam is targeting middle-sized businesses that are utilizing this point of sale and inventory software.
Correct.
Which does beg a question about not Hank the scammer. Was he a former employee of the point of sale company?
Yeah, it occurred to me that he might be.
Okay, strike. Speculation. Any thoughts?
One thing I'm wondering here is whether or not there was any personal information attached to the debit card that was provided by the not Hank.
No, there was none given to us. So when this came to my attention the day after this all happened, I did call, you know, I called the point of sale provider, and that's when they, you know, said, hey, this is a known scam that, you know, many hardware stores have experienced. That's when I asked about, you know, hey, why not give everybody that belongs to your, you know, buys software from your company, why don't you give them the heads up? We have a means to do that. And oh, that's a good idea, is the answer I got. We still haven't seen that memo go out. But what I did is I had their fraud people dial into our system so that we could see the keystrokes and if, in fact, there was any type of fraudulent software like put into our system. But this person never actually dialed into our system. You know, not Hank was never able to get into our system because of the phone disconnect. Not sure what he would have had tried to do next, but we know we were not compromised as far as our data.
Well, hear me out, Ray. What my suggestion here is that not Hank didn't need access to any personal information and never was going to have access to the system you were using, because not Hank had nothing to do with that system. Not Hank just had a little shell game using debit cards to get money out of stores. Am I reading that right? Or do you think that there was actually a hacker on the phone, Travis?
What I'm assuming is that it was part of a larger syndicate that had access to compromised debit cards.
I think they bought compromised debit cards, but they didn't have access to the system.
Right. If they did have access, then they wouldn't have needed to have called Hank in the first place.
Yeah, it was a real con. It was a plain garden variety phone based con using debit cards. And let me ask you this, Ray: has not Hank or anyone from not Hank's boiler room called you since then and tried this again?
nobody, not Hank or his buddies, have not called us again.
Okay, and has not Hank called any other? Are you? I imagine that you have some communication with other stores like you, and while your store is unique and quite special, and Mayberry Lane should be jealous, there are other stores like your store within a 10-minute drive. Did you find out if any of those stores had had a similar experience?
You know, the hardware business, you know, we all might think we're competitors, but we all actually do help one another.
Yeah.
And we're not enemies. So I did let my network know, hey guys, look, this happened to us, you know, be on the lookout, let your team know what's going on.
And has anyone come forward?
Nobody's come forward and said that they had the similar experience.
Gotcha.
Do you guys have like an association where you meet and you talk about threats that you're facing?
So there are, yes, in independent hardware stores, there's a few different associations. We do belong to one, and we actually all meet twice a year. And there is the ability to get together and talk about stuff like this.
And is there a lot of drinking and bowling at these events?
There's definitely no bowling.
Come on.
But there's probably a great deal of drinking, yes?
There has been known to be, yes.
How much beer will $365 buy you?
Hey.
Well, it depends where the conference is and which city.
So let me ask you this. Have you talked with your employees at the store and let them know that this is happening and what they can do next time Not Hank or someone like Not Hank calls?
Yes. We had a team meeting about this issue. And if Not Hank calls again, or one of Not Hank's friends, whoever takes the call, is to get as much information as possible and say that the person that handles this is not here at the present time, and we will call you back.
When it comes to, you know, you guys know that I do a lot of work around the house, or at least I pretend to. And
you've mentioned it once or twice.
Okay, fine. Listen, well, here's the thing is, if you go to Home Depot, and Ray pointed this out to me early on, I was like, Ray, this thing costs like quite a bit less at Home Depot. And he said,
I asked if they were going to show you how to use it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's true. I can just sit down and be like, how do I, you know, like you can go and pretty much do any project just by tapping the talent that is at the store, because there are, Ray also makes a habit of hiring people who have been around for a while and really know their stuff.
So Ray, you're responsible for Bo?
We are responsible for Bo. You know, so far his house is still standing.
Well, it's very generous of you to make him feel like he knows what he's doing, so.
Well, also, you've never been here, Ray. You don't know if it's still standing. My feeling is, like, it makes perfect sense that a store like Ray's would get targeted, and it makes perfect sense that a store like Ray's would not be successfully targeted. And here's why. Because people
They talk to each other.
Excuse me, I ate right before that. That was my dinner. Saying hello.
What did you have for dinner, Bo?
I had chicken thighs. I made a really nice chicken thighs with Adam, you'll like to know this, with the sage, rosemary, thyme that I took from my garden, which my beautiful girlfriend grew herself. And I put it in, Travis will probably appreciate this more. And I made some beautiful chicken thighs at 425 degrees for 40 minutes. They came out perfectly.
Are you using your homegrown tomatoes yet?
I did eat my homegrown tomatoes, and Ray had nothing to do. Actually, Ray, you did have something to do with them. I bought the seeds from Ray. So at any rate, you know, I think the reason why you didn't get scammed has something to do with the fact that it is a small store and people communicate and you are on top of things, and it's a closed system, at least enough so that you're able to see when something isn't right, pretty much right away.
and I still have the $365.
Yeah. A bonus.
Well, it's something, too, that with scams a lot of the time, I mean, we talk about how scammers try to create a sense of panic in you, and one of the best ways to create a sense of panic is to pretend that you're coming to someone from a position of authority. Like, I'm with the IRS, or I'm with immigration, or something like that. When it comes down to IT stuff, most people kind of feel like they're in the dark when it comes to exactly how their point of sale services work. And so it sounds like that was a unsuccessful attempt in this guy's non-Hank's behalf, where he was trying to say, like, hey, I know something. I'm the IT guy. And by the way, let's do this.
But at the same point, remember that when somebody calls the store and says that what you think is going through, which would be credited to your account, ain't showing up, that would be enough to scare the hell out of any small business owner.
100%.
So that would certainly add to the urgency of it. But that's why it's so important that businesses have to verify the legitimacy of any unsolicited call, especially if it comes from not Hank.
Well, what's the best way to do that, Adam?
Well, one of the things you do is wherever they say they're from, you need to independently verify that such an organization exists and then call the number and confirm that that person is actually calling from that organization.
Now, and you obviously don't get the phone number from them.
Correct.
And another big one, if you're working with a vendor like this, is just to know who your account representative is. Then you can say, where is the other guy? Like, we are used to communicating with this one person.
Not Sylvia.
You're right. Exactly.
Scammers and hackers, they love to catch people off guard, to catch them distracted, and then scare them with something and create a sense of urgency. So you really have to take a minute, think about it, and if it's something really urgent, yes, make it a priority, but you've got to verify. You know, they used to say, trust but verify. Now, never trust, always verify, always question.
Yeah, and I also think that, Ray, I know you, and I know kind of, you know, we're friends at this point. I know how you think a little bit based on some stories with your kid and something that happened that we were just trying to figure out. I think that you're perfect for this assignment. Get as much information out of them as you can. And now that you have that $365, you have the keys to the kingdom. You know that you can actually scam them. And you should. I think you should start doing it. Just get as much money out of those punks as you can. Not Hank. Call up Ray's store. He's got it. He's got some propane tanks for you, and they're on sale.
He's waiting for you.
Well, here's the problem with that credit card number: is it probably belongs to not Sylvia, and it's been stolen.
It could be Bo's. We don't know. Based on what you've gone through, do you have advice for other businesses that face this kind of a scam?
I do. You touched on it a little bit, is to verify who you're speaking with before providing them with any information or taking any instruction from them, you know, letting them tell you what to do that could potentially cost you thousands of dollars.
Good. I think one of the main things here that we've heard consistently that's lacking across other organizations is training people to be cyber aware.
Well, I think there's the, you know, we call it the big five. But the first is you got to educate your staff, and it's got to be an ongoing conversation. You have to have protocols where they verify anybody that's contacting them. You got to make them sort of healthy skeptics to make sure that somebody doesn't sound really nice, but it turns out they're not really nice. You should keep documentation, which is any time that anybody in the store receives a suspicious call, they should document it so that if something happens again that sounds similar to it, bells and whistles go off, and also have official contact information. Who is your representative at that organization? So if you get a call from someone who isn't, you can then hang up and call the person who is.
Okay, so Ray, before we let you go, got to ask you, what is the coolest thing you sell at your store that cannot be got at any big box store?
The coolest thing? So,
If it isn't a flamethrower, I'm going to be disappointed.
We have a flamethrower.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We sell flamethrowers to melt ice or burn weeds.
That is the most metal thing I've ever heard.
All right, enough of this. You know,
Ray, this was great. We can't thank you enough. This is
appreciate you having me up.
It was really nice to have you, Ray. See you in the store.
Thanks again to Ray for sharing his story. What's next?
Well, it's time for the Tinfoil Swan.
Our paranoid takeaway to keep you safe on and offline.
You know, Ray reminded me about something that bothers me.
You aren't handy?
Not in the slightest. But point-of-sale systems bother me.
That's so specific.
What's wrong with them, Travis? Come on.
Well, I mean, they're great if you're a vendor. And like Ray was saying, you have businesses and all-in-one solution to track inventory, process credit and debit card transactions, and even provide the hardware to do it.
I sense a but coming on.
It's a big but. They can be a privacy and security nightmare.
There it is. There's the but.
Yep. If you're providing your payment card and you're getting your receipt sent to your email address or your phone, that's two key data points right there. Four if you include what you've purchased and where you purchased it.
Your data are so many pieces of a mosaic.
You guys are ridiculous. But, okay, I'll go along with it. Is it the point of sale companies getting your data that you don't like, Travis?
There is that, but what if they get hit with malware or their network is compromised? Is it really worth the perceived convenience of paying virtually?
As we see all the time, though, convenience usually comes at the expense of security.
Okay, good to know you're both great mugging prospects. Personally, yes. I'd be more worried if I were in the habit of walking around with fists full of cash.
I'd like to see someone try it.
Me too, and that's from Travis.
Well, I mean, Travis would smash him like a bug probably, but all right, let's... What can people do?
First and foremost, if you need a receipt, see if you can just get it printed. I was pretty annoyed when I went to a business for the first time and saw that my phone number and email address auto-populated on their POS terminal from another transaction at another business. So ideally, you shouldn't be providing that data since it's linked to every other business using that same service.
Okay, and for listeners, POS doesn't only mean piece of shit. What if they don't have a printer?
Well, you can be a purist and refuse to give them your business, but that is admittedly pretty extreme. Set up a separate email address for your receipts.
So what he's really saying is siloing your data.
Exactly. Email addresses are easy to get for free, and even paid services aren't really that expensive. Either way, setting one up for receipts isn't that heavy of a lift, or it shouldn't be.
And for the security angle, as we've said before, use a credit card, please.
Or use cash.
You two must never get any sleep. I'd rather get hacked.
And that's our tinfoil swan.
I would. All right. Let's do the...
What the Hack with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media. You can find us online at adamlevin.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.